I am not Pastor Zach, in case you didn't know. Yeah, shocker, I know. Hey, welcome. If you're new this morning, we're going to just welcome you again. Thank you for coming and joining us this morning. Our lead pastor, Pastor Zach Miller, and his wife, Mandy, are in Arkansas, having a good time with family. So we like when they can get away and enjoy time with their family, vacation, and get a little, R&R, there you go, that works. So this morning, I'm not preaching. Oh, cool, okay. I thought there'd be cheering, but okay. So this morning, we have a very special treat. So many of you, raise your hand if you've been here since the very, very beginning. Like, I'm talking Little Elm Junior High School. 2, 3. Awesome. All right. I don't know if that's good or bad. anyway, Seth and Lacey were here from the beginning, and they helped us as part of that, and I mean, they just helped us a ton. So they were all part of the beginning of the unloading of the trailers and the putting stuff into place and then going into the places and tearing everything down and then hauling the trailers off and assimilation and all kinds of stuff. They're awesome, dear friends to us and to our church. And so Seth and Lacey recently, they were in Oklahoma for a little while, and they recently moved back to Dallas, back to God's country. And, yeah, there we go. So they moved back, and they there is, I'm sure you'll tell you more about it, but there's an organization called New Horizons, started in Florida. And anyway, they came to be a part of that and to head it up here and to manage that nonprofit organization in Dallas. And so I'll let him, I'm sure he'll probably explain a little bit of what they do and what that organization's all about, but they're doing awesome work. And we're excited that they're here today. And so he's going to come. And he's going to bring the house down. Yeah.
Good morning. It is an awesome Labor Day weekend, right? It's kind of nice to be able to relax a little bit and to be here with you this morning. As Lanny said, I've known Zach and Mandy for the last 15 years. I grew up in a small town in Arkansas. And so that's my connection to them and the family. And we had worked together at a couple different places. And so I saw the hands that were down a minute ago. So I know hardly anybody here. And so it's great to meet you. My name is Seth and my wife, Lacey. We have two girls. And we've over the last 6 or 7, 8 years, kind of moved around a little bit, working at a couple different churches. And then about a year ago, we moved to Dallas to help launch a nonprofit called New Horizon North Texas. And just to give you a brief intro to that, what we do, we're a faith-based ministry that works with underserved, at-risk, underprivileged kids, primarily through an after-school learning community, where we do individual literacy support, highly relational mentoring, and then faith-based character building along the way as well. And so what we are hoping to do is to really tell our kids a different story and to impact their lives in a significant way, to not only help them academically, but also tell them the story of Jesus as well. And so we recently completed our first year of programming in the Dallas area, and actually on Tuesday get ready to kick off our second year with two school sites in Dallas, and just anxiously ready for another year of impacting kids who can desperately use this type of support. So, like I mentioned, I've known Zach for the last 15 years or so, and whenever I go through really difficult moments, Zach and Mandy are typically the people that I call. I remember back in 2009, I was going through a pretty difficult time, and we were living in San Antonio. And we just need to get out of San Antonio. And so we called them on the whim one afternoon and said, can we just come stay with you guys? And Zach and Mandy, for us, have been one of our biggest sources of support and encouragement along the way. And in a lot of ways, extended family for us. And so we're very grateful to be here today to be able to share with you. And this is a special place, as Lane said. We were here from the very beginning. And so it's cool to be back to talk today. How many parents are in the room? Parents? Oh, so this is a lot, almost everyone. So I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, and being a parent, our girls love to go to the zoo. And in some of our trips to the zoo, I'm not a huge animal person. I don't know how many of you are, but there is one particular animal, though, that when we visit the zoo that I find extremely fascinating, and it's the meerkat. How many of you know what a meerkat is? Yeah, so here's a picture of a meerkat, kind of cute creatures. And for some of us, maybe we remember meerkats. Our connection there is Timon from The Lion King. That's our maybe connection there. So he was the lovable guy on the movie. But meerkats are really interesting creatures because they're highly social, and they live in these colonies of 20 or 30 meerkats at a time. And they do something very interesting that I think is important for us to kind of observe. They demonstrate these really altruistic behaviors for the sake of their community. Meerkats babysit and they feed and they protect their young within the context of their colonies. Here's one that's really interesting. They regularly groom each other as a means of strengthening social bonds. I'm not sure that's something that we will glean from today. But they also have different jobs, which I find extremely fascinating. And they will actually rotate jobs for the sake of the community. And one of the ones that I find really interesting is, you'll see the one standing up there, they're standing as sentries to kind of watch out the rest of the colony. As everyone else is kind of foraging for food or playing, you'll have sentries kind of looking out to protect from any dangers that may be there. And what's really interesting is this, is that God has designed these meerkats to survive and to flourish together in community. And they embody this truth that is extremely applicable for us and true for us as well, and it's this, is that life is better connected. That life is better connected. How many of you know that this doesn't sound like the world we live in, though? We live in a really fractured world. We live in a world that is really rampant with a lot of animosity, really volatile. And the easiest path for us to take is for us to continue to kind of keep people at a distance, to continue the status quo, to not upset the status quo, maybe to isolate or pull back with ourselves. And in some ways, establish walls to protect ourselves, right? Because a part of us, we want to protect. We want to protect who we are and not allow ourselves to be hurt by disappointment or judgment or pain or bitterness. I mean, and think about how this plays out for just a moment. Think about in our current climate, all the political persuasions that separate us. I mean, if you drive down the neighborhood, you'll see political signs everywhere. With it, what an opportunity to divide people. You think about issues such as gender. You think about issues such as race and social media. You think about interest and age and social interest and economic status and social status. Can you just imagine how all these things scatter and splinter relationships? Do you see how that plays out? And we live with this tension that in this very volatile, aggressive society, in this broken culture that we're a part of, is it really any wonder that we live in a fractured world? I want to ask you this question this morning. What makes you pull back? What makes you pull back and protect yourself? Is it a fear of judgment? Is it a fear of rejection? Perhaps it's a fear of not measuring up to some standard. Perhaps it's shame or embarrassment. Or maybe perhaps it's you tend to be the one judging other people. And can I tell you this morning that this is not the way God has designed us to live. And in fact, this is not the model that Jesus sets for us in Scripture. Jesus and God has designed us to live in a much different way than what our current status quo is in our world. Jesus models something else, and it's this, is that life is better connected. Life is better connected together in community. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to unpack what I feel like is God's plan for the world. And then you go through brokenness of sin. And then unpack what God's work is to restore and what our role is in all that. Because in the beginning, God created humanity. And Scripture tells us that God created us, all of us, male and female, in His image. And in fact, in Genesis 1:27, it says that God created human beings in His own image. And here's what's really important is for us to figure out and for us to study and for us to observe what God's image actually is. And when we look at God's image, we see God Himself in perfect community with Himself. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? In the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And this beautiful picture of living together in community where there's this deference to one another, where there's this humility of one another, where's this submission to one another, where are these internal bonds that join Father, Son together and Holy Spirit together to build this perfect image of what community actually looks like. And that's the life that God invites us to participate in. And that's the image that inside of all of us, God has embedded on our soul and our design. And God has created with us this same image to be in relationship and this opportunity to participate together in His design. And according to God's blueprint, according to the scriptures, according to the pattern that we see out through history, community, though, isn't just a nice option for our lives. It's actually really essential for us. It's essential for our lives because in community is the place that we're known. In community is the place that we find a place to belong. It's a safe place. In community is the place that we discover purpose. It's a place for us to impact and serve others. It's a place where we begin to work out our own salvation inside of ourselves, where God uses other people to actually refine who we are as a people. And so experiencing life-giving community the way that God has designed it isn't just a nice option. It's actually a need. Just like food, water, and shelter. Maybe it's a little bit more intangible than that. Maybe it's not something we can grab onto and have a handle, but it's a need like food, water, and shelter. And with it or without it, something deep is missing inside of all of us. And with it, though, we experience God's goodness and His love and the beauty of what it means to live together in community with other people. And so from the beginning, God's plan was this. Wholeness, connected relationships, united together as one. But Scripture teaches us that something happened. Scripture teaches us that Adam and Eve chose a different path. They had an opportunity to stay in relationship with God, and they chose a path that was very self-serving. They chose a path that was primarily about themselves, and they chose a path that fractured relationships. And the path of sin, what it does is it distorts relationships. There's a lot of things that happen as a result of the fall that Scripture teaches us in Genesis. But one of the things that it does, one of the results, one of the implications of sin, is that it fractures, it distorts, and it splinters relationships, not only with God, but also with each other. Because it's a path of pride, it's a path of deceit, it's a path of self-serving, it's a path of secrets, it's a path of hurt, it's a path of judgment, division, brokenness, and blame. How many of you have experienced those sorts of things in your life? That sort of hurt, right? Most of us across this room, we could raise our hand and we could go back to moments where we've experienced these things, the result of God's plan being distorted and fractured, and no longer are we in right relationship with one another. But evil splinters those relationships and pushes us apart. And so the whole notion of community, the whole notion of living together in close relationships now has a negative connotation because what if I get hurt? What if I don't experience what I need to experience? And on this path, our world fails to experience God's best and His goodness and His design that He has. And it fails to experience the life that God has for us that is found in real life-giving relationships and a real life-giving community. What I love about God, though, is this. God is not a God who sits absent and distant, but God intervenes in our lives. God is very aware of what's going on. He's very aware of what's going on in our world today. He sees the hurt. He sees the brokenness. He sees the splintering and the fracturing. And when Adam and Eve chose this path of sin, they distorted God's design. But what did God do? He intervened. And He came down and He set a new plan. He initiated and He called a new place and began to establish and restore what He had originally designed. To establish a new place and a new group of people that would walk with God. To have a new community. To have a new place that would follow after God and would love God with all their hearts. And God is starting a new chapter. And we find this story in Genesis chapter 12. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn there. Genesis chapter 12. And this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. But it's the story of Abraham and Sarah eventually. And you have this story of Abram who is a wealthy man who has everything he really needs in this place, in his homeland. And all of a sudden, God comes to him and he initiates. And God wants to use Abraham to initiate a new place, to build a new nation. And in Genesis chapter 12, the Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country and your people and your father's household. Leave everything. And I will show you where to go. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Abram, just like he had started with Adam, He comes back, and essentially what God is doing is restoring and rebuilding relationships. What God is doing is restoring community, building a nation. What sin had once fractured and pulled apart, God is now inviting and calling another man, another person, to establish another place. God intends to make right, to build a family that would bless others, and to build a community of love. And in this moment, in this passage of Scripture, if you'll put yourself in Abraham's shoes for just a moment, he had a really big choice to make, right? I mean, he was confronted with his choice. Do I leave everything I've known? Do I follow God and I don't even know where he's taking me? I mean, that's what's really interesting about this. He says, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I'm going to show you. Like, he doesn't even tell Abram where he's going. He just invites him. And Abram has an opportunity. He has a choice to make. Would he choose safety or would he follow God's plan? And that's really the choice for all of us as well. Because God's plan was to build a people, to gather a people together who were devoted to him and the things of God that would eventually begin to restore and bring salvation to the entire world. And throughout Scripture, you see this pattern taking place where God uses, he primarily uses family, he primarily uses community as a means to accomplish his redemptive work in the world. So God has designed us in right relationship, in perfect united relationship. Sin splinters and it scatters. And then God reinitiates and he invites us to participate again, to make right. What I love about this, though, is this. And I think this is a really important differentiator for us to make. At its core, this nation, this family, this community that God is building, it's not a self-serving community. At its core, it's a family that primarily looks outward to bless others, to be a part of God's plan. It primarily looks outward to participate with God and to primarily join with God in restoring community. You see this model with Jesus as well, with Jesus and his disciples, where Jesus spends his life showing compassion and mercy. He spends his life giving enormous grace. He spends his life serving everyone, especially the least of these. Jesus gives us this model of what it means for us to live a life outside of ourselves, together in relationship with his disciples, and then invites us to participate. For the last several years, when we were living in Oklahoma, we were a part of a group. It was a group of people who, to be honest, we came from a lot of different walks of life. And if you looked at it from the outside, we were not people who should have been in relationship with one another. There were different socioeconomic statuses represented. There were different marriage, family situations represented, single, married, divorced, remarried, people with kids, people who had white-collar jobs, people who had blue-collar jobs, people who had completely different interests. And yet, there was this one common thing that united us. It was our passion. It was our desire. It was our commitment to be a part of God's mission. It was our commitment to know God desperately and to take our faith seriously. It was a mission and a commitment to say, God, how do we join with you in what you're doing to help others experience God? While it would be really easy for all these differences to begin to actually divide us, there was something bigger that united us together. And it was the community that we experienced. It was the support that we experienced. Because it was in this place where we all had the support that we needed. It was in this place where we were growing in our relationship with God. It was in this place that we were challenging one another and having tough and difficult conversations based out of love. It was in this place where we were encouraging one another. It was in this place that people were experiencing salvation. It was in this place that people experienced healing, not only physical, but also emotional. It was in this place where transformation and belonging happened, where celebration happened. It was in this place where we celebrated the things that were going on really, really well. And we encouraged people. And we're with people in the darkest, difficult moments of their lives and pain and difficulty. It was in this place where we experienced what God was doing in us. And it was nothing that we could create ourselves, but it was what God has been doing throughout history. There's a German theologian. His name is Gerhard Lofink. Look to the person next to you and say that three times really fast. Gerhard Lofink. Gerhard Lofink. It's a little bit tricky, right? But he writes this book and he says this. He says, there must be a place. There must be a place. Something that is visible and tangible where the salvation of the world can begin. That is, where the world becomes what it was supposed to be according to God's plan. And he goes on to say that everyone must have the opportunity to come and see. Everyone must have the opportunity to come and observe and see what God is doing in this place. And all must have a chance to behold and to test this new thing. You know what I love about community that's built like this? Is that when we are gathered together from the outside, it's really easy to go, man, there's no way those people should be hanging out. There's no way they should be in relationship because that's not my experience. But when I look from the outside in and I observe something really beautiful taking place, what I'm actually seeing is the salvation of God at work in a group of people's lives, because there must be a place. There must be a place. There must be a place where God's goodness is tangible. There must be a place where God's mercy is tangible. There must be a place where God's compassion and love is tangible. There must be a place where people look and they see God at work bigger than everything that seeks to divide us. And this choice that God gave Abraham or Abram in Genesis chapter 12, God also gives us. He gives you this choice on whether or not we will choose to follow God's plan or to go about it on our own. But there must be a place. And what I want to kind of unpack for just a moment is this. It's not just a singular place, like a gathering place like this. It's not about one central church building. But when I talk about place, I'm talking about something much bigger. It's the places that you work. It's the street that you live on. It's the neighborhood that you live in. It's the schools that you are a part of or you frequent. It's the sports teams that your kids participate in. It's the places that you visit. Those are the places where God has placed you. And these are places where God desperately wants to restore relationships. These are the places where God wants to restore relationships and restore community. And he wants to use you to be a part of his work. He wants to use the community of believers to be a part of that. And what places is the community of God already working? In what places is the community of God embodying these principles that God talks about? Can I ask you a question this morning? Will you join with God? Will you join with God to be about his work? Will you join with God to be about his work of embodying what it means to love others and to build these places where God's work is restored? Will you join with God, or do you dismiss God? Because there really is, when it comes to following Jesus, you know, we're all at different places on our journey. But at the end of the day, it comes down to an attitude. Am I going to follow and trust God, or am I going to follow myself? But it's in God's plan that we experience the beauty and the formation of what community actually happens, or what community brings. And it's in community that we begin to live a life of purpose that begins to bless other people. So whether it's your family, whether it's a church family like this in a larger setting, whether it's a small group or a Bible study or a formal or informal group of friends, this is what I know, is that God uses those places, that God uses those spaces to transform us and to enable us to live a life of purpose and to experience God breathing life inside of us, because he uses other people to breathe life inside of us. And it's actually in our communities. It's actually in our church families. It's actually in our Bible studies. It's actually in our group of friends, where those places become the real world setting for God to show up and to demonstrate who he is. And you get to be an accurate representation of who God is and embody the principles of God. And it's in this place that we live out our faith. It's in your relationships that you have to practice how to forgive, right? It's in these places where you embody grace. It's in these places where you have to choose, am I going to hold a grudge or am I going to extend grace? It's in these places where all of a sudden you're confronted with a picture of yourself and you go, man, someone else is pursuing God in a way I've never considered. Perhaps I should consider that in my life. These are the real world places where God uses to breathe life into us, and we experience the real life-giving community that he desires. this morning, I really think about two options, and I mentioned this a moment ago. Number one is this, is that you get to hear this message, and honestly, I get to get in a car and drive down to East Dallas where I live, and you get to object to everything I'm saying and dismiss God's plan. That's one option. Another option is that you would actually begin to assess your life, and you would ask yourself some tough questions. Am I experiencing God's best for my life in the context of relationships? And then would I join with God, or how can I further join with God in His journey? Can I ask you some questions this morning? Who do you celebrate life with? Who do you spend your free time with? Who do you call when something goes wrong? What relationships do you have that breathe life into you? What relationships do you have are forming you more into the image of Christ? How are you being a blessing to others? Because our relationships and the communities that God has placed us within, they're not primarily about us. They're about how does God use us to now restore the world, because we've experienced God's goodness. We've experienced His grace, and now how do we take our faith seriously and live that out? Because life is truly better connected. And I know this, it is far too easy to live a life at a distance. I mean, that's where our tendencies are, right? We can get about our normal day and our work and go to the places we go and just get in our car and go through the drive-thru, and we can live these lives that are very isolated, very guarded, and keep people at a distance and keep people at a very surface level. And we feel like that's okay. Can I just say that that is not God's design? That is not the way God has intended for us to live. And it's not the model that Jesus sets for us. And if we're going to follow Jesus, then I think it's best for us to consider, how do we live the way Jesus did? And perhaps we tend to move that direction because it's a fear of judgment. Or maybe it's a fear of rejection. Or maybe it's a fear of not measuring up or hurt. And I know this, it requires a lot of trust and a lot of time to develop these key relationships. And sociologists actually talk about different levels of relationship. And I think we would all agree that we have some that are like social interest groups that we're a part of. We know people from the soccer fields, or we see the same people at the school pickup line or at work. And then we have people that we get really, really close to. Wherever people are on that journey, the question really is, how are we moving towards establishing close community with other people? And in being in this type of community, it requires a real level of commitment and a real level of intentionality. And I think most of us would say those types of relationships, those close, life-giving, personal relationships, don't just happen. They take something very intentional. They take a commitment, because our lives can be fully surrounded by people, but we can still find ourselves not truly belonging and experiencing God's best for our lives. So, if life is better connected, will you move to experience God's plan in your life? If life is better connected, will you move to experience God's close community in your life? Will you lean into the opportunity today? Will you trust? Will you be vulnerable? Will you lean in and engage to live life together? Can I give you an assignment today? If you would pull out a piece of paper or your phone to take a note, I want to give you an assignment to give you something really applicable that you can do. And what I would ask you to do and invite you to do is to participate with this for the next 2 weeks. Because we can talk about community from a really ethereal, mystical perspective, but I want to give you a few set of really practical set of actions, some really practical things that you can, some actions that you can actually put into practice. In Genesis chapter 12, one of the things that's really key for us to note is that when God called Abram, He said that you're going to be a blessing to other people. So this is where this set of practices actually comes from. And so it's just a really simple acronym called BLESS, B-L-E-S-S. And this is what it says, the first one. It's a set of practices that are not rocket science. They're not anything like abnormal, but they're really key if you're going to engage in community is this. B is this, is that you just simply begin with prayer. Is that you ask God and you invite God to say, God, would you lead my life this week? Would you give me wisdom? Would you help me to embrace your plan for my life? Would you bring people into my path that I can bless this week? And begin with prayer. L is that you listen. How many of you know that you can't really be in close community if you don't take time to listen? Because you can't serve and bless people if you're not hearing and seeing the needs that are in front of you. So you would pause. You would pause and listen. E is this, and this is the really fun one. For the next 2 weeks, that you would decide a couple times that you get to eat with others. That you get to bless them simply by eating with them, sharing a meal, sharing coffee or breakfast. Something is that you get to just simply eat with others. And in the context of those moments, you have an opportunity to bless them. S, the first S, is that you look for a way to serve others. And this could look a lot of different ways for a lot of different people. But whatever it is, that you would serve others, that you would serve someone somewhere. So whether it's somebody in your neighborhood, whether it's somebody in your workplace, whether it's someone that you see on a continual basis, that you would look to bless them simply by serving. And the last S is this, is that you would share your story. You would share your story. All of us have a story. All of us have things in our lives that God has been really good to us in. We have our story of God's goodness. We have a story of where we've been, where we're going, what our hopes and our aspirations are, and where we want to go someday. Simply be vulnerable and engage and share your story and invite others to share their story as well. So really simple, 5 practices. Begin with prayer, listen, eat with others, serve others, and share your story, bless. Really simple, 5 practices. How many of you would say, I would commit to doing this over the next couple weeks? You would just commit to say, yeah, I want to be a part of this. I want to engage in this. This is what I know. Community and relationships can be really challenging, right? Community and being in close relationships can be really challenging. Here's why. Because there are people involved. And one of the funny things for me, this is an aside, like I'll say this about social media sometimes. Social media is awesome because everyone has a voice. And social media is not awesome because everyone has a voice. And you see all the brokenness and you see all the drama and all the stuff because they're people. And we all have our flaws, right? All of us have our flaws. And no matter where each of us are on our faith journeys, no matter where each of us are on our transformation journey, allowing God to transform us, we all still have our flaws. And there are a lot of things at work in our world that can still work to divide us. Even in this room, there are things that would seek to pull us apart. There are things that would work to pull us apart. So whether it's someone said something that they didn't mean, or maybe they did mean, whether it's somebody did something, or they simply embody a personality that tends to rub you the wrong way, or maybe their lifestyle rubs you in some way. There are a lot of things. Maybe they have a political persuasion that you disagree with vehemently. Maybe they embody something that you just don't prefer. There are a lot of things that can divide us and actually keep us distant from one another. And yet, there is something greater that unites all of us in this room. There is something greater that unites us with our brothers and sisters throughout the world who follow Jesus. And it's our commitment to follow Jesus. And as followers of Jesus, this is what it means for us, is that we belong to God. When we choose to follow Jesus, we're saying, God, we belong to you. And we sang about it earlier. God, we're giving you permission to carry our lives, to lead our lives. We're opening up our lives to you, to give you permission. And so we're choosing to follow you. We belong to God. We're his disciples. We are his people. We're the part of the people that God is bringing together, that God is gathering together to bless and restore the world. Isn't that awesome? Like, we get to participate with God in that. And no matter how many things divide us, no matter how many things seek to keep us at a distance from one another, there is something greater that brings us together. And that's our hope and our faith in Jesus, because we are God's people. And God is gathering us to make up his family, and it unites us. It's our desire and our passion and our commitment to follow after God, to become the people that God has intended for us to become, the people that he asks us to become. In all that we do, It's to gather together with a hope and a purpose to serve others and to impact others. No matter what distinctions we may have, they tend to fade into the background. And what truly matters is our hope in Jesus, because there's something greater. And so this morning, we are simply an embodiment of that, of joining together in biblical community to discover God, to experience God, to know God, to obediently live for His glory and His mission. And it's the greatest thing that we can give our lives to. And it's in this type of community, in this type of place, because there must be a place. It's in this type of place where we find belonging. It's in this type of place where there's potential for us to find wholeness and support, where there's potential for us to find trust and security and real connections. It's in this type of place in biblical community that we become the people that God originally designed us to be, because life is better connected. So this morning, we all have a choice. This morning, we all have a choice. Will you join with God? Will you join with God in community? Or will you dismiss God's method for restoring the world? This isn't just about you gathering as a people. This is about you being used, gathering together as a community to restore the world, to join with God. Will you embrace that life is better connected? Will you embrace this truth, this principle, this design, that life is better connected? And will you move? Will you commit? Will you engage? Will you move to participate with God by blessing others? Because life is better connected. Life is better connected. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace in our lives. God, I thank you that you have been at work restoring our world, and you have initiated to bring us back and restore what was broken, what was splintered, what was fractured. God, and you have done that in our own lives. God, and I pray that you would move us, compel us even, God, to join with you in your mission, to join with you in embodying the design that you set out for us. God, to truly live out the image that you have modeled for us, one of love and mercy and compassion and goodness, serving one another. Because there must be a place where you're visible, God. There must be a place where you're visible. God, in the moments where we want to push back, in the moments where we want to distance ourselves or guard ourselves, God, I pray that you would give us the courage and the strength and the wisdom to engage, to trust, to slow down, and participate with you in blessing other people, God. As your people, God, our lives are not about us. They're about you and your glory and your mission. And so I pray that you would unite this church, the Crossing, together with your bonds of love, with your bonds of unity, God, that you would unite them together with a passion to know you and a passion, God, to live their lives out for you, to be about your business, Jesus, to make disciples, to go and to see you at work in their lives. God, would you remind us and teach us that life is truly better connected, that you have a plan and you have a way. God, give us the humility to submit to that and follow after you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.